You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. All right, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Ask a Black Doctor with Dr. Bukasi Dubé and myself, DJ Ambush, here on The Numbers 96.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at thenumberswithaz.fm. Shout out to everyone that has been tuning in and lending their support with spreading the podcast. Shout out to everyone that has been reaching out to ask questions directly. More of that. We want to make sure we are clearing up any issues of concern and confusion around vaccination, especially now that we have this new surge that Dr. Dubé and I have been talking about for a little while now, this new variant, the Delta variant, and now even Delta Plus. There's so much going on. But how you doing this week, Doc?
Man, I'm doing well. It's good to see you.
Yes, always good to see you, man. Always good to see you. So we're seeing a new wave of COVID-19 in Oregon. How severe will it be, in your opinion?
Man, this is probably the worst we've ever seen. We have exceeded the worst that we had ever in terms of hospitalizations. We hit, I think earlier today, we hit close to 665 people who are in the hospital for COVID-19. Mm. And our previous peak was just below 600. I mean, it was 595, I think. And this was way back in December. So when we thought things were really bad in December, we had 595 people in the hospital. Right now, we have 665 people in the hospital due to COVID-19. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And we ought to be concerned. The number of new cases are going up every single day, and we're seeing younger and younger folks in the hospital. So it's scary out there, people. It's scary out there.
Yeah, I think it's important that we keep mentioning that these are younger people than we're used to seeing be hospitalized from COVID in the past. I do want to ask you this, though. Because this strain is so much more communicable, and those of us that are vaccinated can still carry it and spread it, it almost feels like a completely different monster that we're dealing with here. And some of the complacency that some of us may have around being vaccinated may have something to do with, you know, what we thought we were dealing with before. You know, the previous strain where, okay, as long as we wash our hands and clean our surfaces, and if you wear a mask or if you're properly distanced, these are the things that work. I think what could be helpful is almost, you know, giving this thing a completely separate name, or at least creating a nice, clear distinction so people understand, yes, this is a strain of COVID, but the Delta variant is a completely different situation. It's almost like only half of the rules even apply, especially when we're talking about social distancing. Some of the things that you mentioned before about, you know, before it was different, you know, if you're 6 feet away, you know, you have a higher probability of coming out of that conversation not contracting the previous variants, previous strains rather. But that is not the case this time around.
Man, it's a different ball game. People need to be very, very careful, right? Yes, those things still work, but they're not as effective as they were against the previous variants.
Yeah.
The most effective way of preventing severe illness, preventing hospitalization, preventing death, is getting vaccinated. That is the most effective way of preventing illness. So again, the message out there is this variant is bad news. It's 2 to 3 times more infectious than previous variants. So we need to be more mindful of that. We need to avoid you know, being indoors, like what we've been talking about, outdoors is better than indoors.
Right.
You know, wear your mask and practice good physical distancing. Good hand hygiene goes a long way. So just making sure that people understand those things is very, very important.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the basics still haven't changed. So those of us that are vaccinated can still transmit the strain. And for those of us that aren't vaccinated, they stand the possibility of catching it from anywhere. You know, someone who is or isn't vaccinated. like the rate at which they are in danger is relatively high. Can you give us an idea of how long, or does it, you know, does it vary? How long a person that is vaccinated can carry it?
So it's still very similar in that if you were to get COVID-19 or the coronavirus, if you're not vaccinated, or if in rare cases if you're vaccinated, you can have enough viral load to shed, and this variant leads to very, very, very high viral loads. And that's why it's so infectious, right? That's why it's incredibly contagious. So usually most people are contagious within two to eight days after getting infected. But obviously we have that, you can be contagious without knowing that you're infected. That's why we always say two days before your symptoms started, or 2 days before you tested positive, is when you more than likely contracted it and more than likely would have been infectious to other people. So that's why that's where the contact tracing begins. And then you fast forward another 8 days after that you're still very, very contagious. And it's still for the most part the same with this variant. It's just that you have a whole lot more viral load. That's why it's causing more problems. That's why we're seeing breakthrough cases in folks that are vaccinated.
So we have the combination of a higher viral load combined with the fact that we're back open, because that's a huge difference between what we were dealing with then and now. So it's a higher viral load, but we're out here mixing and mingling. We're back in the streets, unlike when we were in quarantine and we were dealing with these numbers.
So the thing is that when on June 30th, when the governor said, you know, okay, she's lifting all the restrictions, what people neglected to see, it's kind of like the fine print, right? Mm. What people neglected to see and hear is that OHA and the CDC were still recommending, even though it was no longer a mandate, they were still recommending that wear a mask when you're indoors in public spaces, maintain good physical distancing. Those things were still in play. Those things were still recommended. And as you probably heard today on the radio or on TV, wherever people get their news, Governor Brown reinstated the statewide masking mandate in indoor places starting on Friday.
Right.
Because of the way this variant is spreading.
It does feel, even for those of us that are vaccinated, it does feel a little scary in the way that we can be vaccinated and not present at all and be transmitting. So we can be around each other feeling safe. No one is presenting any outward symptoms, whether we're at the mall, whether we're at work, whether we're at events, and all of us could at some point be spreading the virus.
And that is the scary part, right? The idea that you could, even if you're vaccinated, you could still carry this to your 11-year-old who's not vaccinated.
Right.
To your immunocompromised, you know, grandmother, grandfather, or loved one at home. So that's why it's important to wear a mask, because you may not get sick, but those around you could get affected. We're seeing a lot of younger folks. The CDC has shared some data earlier today saying that there are a lot of young folks who have been hospitalized. We're seeing a whole lot more pediatric cases than previously. And so if we can't do it for ourselves, man, we should be doing it for our kids.
What's the youngest age that children can be vaccinated?
So currently the youngest age is 12.
Okay.
There are studies that are going on that will hopefully allow for younger kids to be vaccinated. And then there's also something else that's new that people don't realize. The Pfizer vaccine, at the very least, is going to get full approval from the FDA probably on September 6th. When that happens, that means that as a physician, I as a doctor can say, you know what, I think your child should get vaccinated. Yes, the studies are not completely out yet, but what we know is that the preliminary data that we're seeing is it's incredibly safe and effective in kids.
Okay.
So kids younger than 12. So The long, quick answer to your question is 12 is the youngest, but after the full authorization, it's up to the clinician to recommend vaccination at any age. And then later on in the year, probably around September, October, an EUA is going to be granted for kids younger than 12.
That's encouraging to hear. That is encouraging to hear. I asked that question to trying to get some information on what needed to happen for children under 12 to be able. So it was just a matter of getting more testing needed to happen before we were able to move forward with that age group. Okay. That's good to know.
Yes. The studies are going on right now. They have thousands of kids enrolled in this study. I actually have a very good friend that I trained with in LA who has two kids under 12 who are both enrolled in studies. They still live in LA, who are both enrolled in these studies. And I was actually thanking her last night saying, hey, thank you very much for allowing your kids to participate in this study. Because they're sacrificing themselves. These are two black kids who are younger than 12 who are sacrificing themselves so that the rest of us can benefit. I mean, what a sacrifice right there, right?
Right, right. So up until this point, the primary advice was if you're going to be doing any gathering, that it be outside. So that's still currently the safest way for us to gather. However, once you start having us gather in numbers, similar to, you know, some of the festivals and outdoor events that we've seen over the last couple of weeks, then the rate of exposure does increase exponentially.
Yep, it sure does. And I like how you used the word numbers. I don't know if the pun was intended there.
I'm going to try to work it in every chance I get.
Yeah, so the larger the crowd, the higher the chances that there is that the virus could spread. So
right.
Yeah, so you want to keep the numbers small. Your outdoor activities are always, always safer than indoors. And if you're going to be indoors, choose a place that, you know, there are windows that can be open and there can be fresh air coming in and out. And of course, if you're going to be indoors, make sure that you maintain good physical distancing, mm-hmm. at least 6 feet.
Mm-hmm. So with the outdoor activities, I've seen some situations where it was recommended to wear a mask, even outdoor, when you have high concentration of people or when people are at least gathered tightly together.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. You just want to reduce the risk of getting the virus or spreading the virus. What we know is that masks work and they're very, very effective.
Right.
At both preventing you from getting the disease and also preventing you from spreading the disease. So it's they work and they're effective, and the data is very, very, very clear on that. So if you can mask up, do it so that you protect yourself. So essentially, everyone older than two should be wearing a mask at the very least in indoor public spaces.
Right.
I wear a mask even when I'm outside and just walking about, and there are lots of people.
Yeah.
And the mask is on.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. Same. I definitely keep it hanging from my ear, and if I'm in a situation where I'm going to be in close quarters with someone, even outside, I'll just put it on. Or if there's a high concentration of people, I'm just going to put it right back on. I think there is a challenge, though, because, you know, we have an event series, and there are other people producing events, large or small, just any type of outside public gathering, whether it's at your local church or community center, where as event organizers, we have to take that into consideration. It's very difficult to police each other in the way that you invite people to come to your event because you want them, you know, you want a big turnout. You want as many people as possible to participate in what you're presenting. But at the same time, we can't walk around the crowd and say, hey, could you put a mask on? Would you put a mask on? Put you put a mask on? The mandate's for inside. That's what people will tell us. The mandate's for inside. So I think we're in a spot now as the radio station where I've made the decision, and I'm announcing it on the podcast, that we're going to be transitioning from the summer series into something that's going to focus more primarily on vaccinations. So we'll be releasing a new schedule with different dates and locations where we will still be doing the vaccination clinics, but we won't be doing the event series the way we planned, inviting people out and us having large gatherings of people, just because we're in a very crucial time right now. We really are. Like I said, one of the key differences to me was that, you know, we were, when we hit these high numbers before, we were in quarantine. Right now, everything is wide open. So with the viral load being heavier and us being able to interact with each other uninhibited, I feel like I just don't want to be responsible for anyone's child who cannot be vaccinated yet coming out to what they would consider to be a safe outdoor event and contracting COVID.
Yeah, I think that's a very reasonable approach to take, because, like you said, you can't walk around telling people, hey, you need to put your mask on, you need to put your mask on when you're outdoors. I totally agree with you. It's a safe option, and it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Are the vaccines working as expected? I know from some of the conversations we've been having before, you know, you got to expect these variants. You have to come to the understanding that the virus is trying to survive. It's not trying to be benched. So Are the vaccines working as expected?
That's a very good question. So, and I'll answer that definitively.
Okay.
Yes, the vaccines are working as expected, in that they're preventing severe illness, they're preventing hospitalization, they're preventing death in people who are vaccinated. Of course, we will see breakthrough cases every now and then, but those are very rare. And as a matter of fact, these breakthrough cases, we know that they primarily occur in people who are either older folks or people who are immunocompromised.
Mm-hmm.
But as we have always talked about, right? If you're vaccinated and you're immunocompromised, you may not mount as robust a reaction as, say, someone who has a normal immune system. But guess what? A less than robust response is better than no response at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why it's important to get vaccinated. There's a study that the CDC put out that followed 65-year-olds who were hospitalized. And it showed that the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines were about between 91 and 96% effective in reducing the risk of hospitalization. And the Johnson & Johnson was about 85% effective in reducing the risk of hospitalization. Mm. So the short answer is they're working very well and they're effective. And man, the best part is they're free.
Yes. They're not just free. In some cases, you can actually make a little getting vaccinated. Yeah, yeah. You can be compensated for your time. Yes. What can you tell us vaccinated people who are getting sick from COVID-19? Is there any more that you can give us as just kind of clear up any misconceptions? I know we did talk about there being some anecdotal cases here and there. And then in those cases, sure, some of us are immunocompromised and don't even know it because there's so many illnesses that we're dealing with that are undiagnosed.
Yeah, that's very true, right? There are a lot of people who don't go to the doctor, so they don't know what their situation is. They don't know that they have, you know, raging diabetes. They don't know that they have, you know, rheumatoid arthritis or whatever else there is, right? They may not know that because people don't seek care from their doctor. So, mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who may be immunocompromised and not even realize that. So I think the thing to note here is that no vaccines or treatment is 100% effective, right? So we knew this going into this stage of the pandemic, we were vaccinating folks. So, but you're better off getting vaccinated because it reduces the risk of getting sick.
Right.
It reduces the risk of ending up in the hospital. There have been breakthrough cases that have been reported, and we don't have all the data yet as to what the rate of breakthrough cases. But it's not that high. It's very low, actually.
Right.
And the other thing is what we're not looking at is how many people are like Lamar Jackson, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, right? Who's gotten COVID twice.
Right.
How many people, and he's not vaccinated, right? So how many people who have had COVID before are getting COVID again because they're not vaccinated? So that's a very good number to compare to breakthrough cases, because I'm quite sure that number is much higher than our breakthrough cases.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of those that aren't vaccinated, have you heard any new concerns or any new apprehensions about why people still don't trust the vaccine?
Man, I've had quite a few conversations in the last week since we last spoke, and with people in the community about why they're not getting vaccinated, or why they're still in the deliberative phase about whether or not to get vaccinated. And a lot of young folks don't feel as though it's going to affect them. I actually had a 21-year-old male yesterday that I was talking to, and he said, you know, everybody in my family is vaccinated, but I'm not, because one, I'm young. Two, I don't have any conditions. Three, I haven't seen anyone around me getting sick. So it's this false sense of security, right? That you're,
there it is.
You're a Superman or Superwoman, superhuman being. Because you're young, that's not true. But it's not true, because we do have 21-year-olds in the hospital who've gotten sick.
And that false sense of security is tied. You can draw a direct line to the propaganda that happened early in the pandemic when we were still trying to figure this thing out. And people were throwing all types of different, you know, theories at the wall. Well, if you're heavily melanated, you are immune. If you're young, you're immune. You know, if you know, there were so many different things. And I think that goes back to the conversation before when I was earlier, when I was saying maybe a rebranding is necessary. Maybe we need to let people know this is not what you thought this was. This is not what we all thought this was when we first started 15, 16, 17 months ago. What do you think is next? What do you think's next? I mean, I feel like we're in a rough pattern right now where enough of us didn't get vaccinated. So the Delta virus is having its way with us. It's running all crazy. What do you think is next?
So here's the thing. The worst of the pandemic is not here, right? So I think now is the time to get vaccinated, because it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. And If you haven't had the opportunity to get vaccinated, make a plan to get vaccinated. If you still have questions, talk to your primary care doctor, talk to your primary care provider, and get your answers, you know, your questions addressed and your concerns cleared out so that you get vaccinated. At this point, this is a preventable disease.
Right.
And we need people to get vaccinated. I was listening to, I was reading something from this, the OHSU spokesperson, Eric Robinson, mm-hmm. was talking about, essentially, who was echoing what I'm saying now, that the worst of the pandemic is probably 4, 5, 6 weeks away from now.
Wow.
Meaning that it's gonna get worse before it gets better. So if you haven't had a chance to get vaccinated, or if you've been deliberating all this time, get vaccinated now so that you're not in a bad situation 3, 4, 5 weeks from now.
And we're saying the worst hasn't happened yet. And for so many of us, we think it's behind us, right? So because we haven't seen the worst, what does that look like? We're currently in a situation where there aren't enough ICUs in some states and some counties. I remember before they were using refrigeration trucks because some of the morgues were, you know, were overfull. If we haven't seen the worst yet, especially now with this heat happening, what is the worst?
Man, yeah. So it's really bad. Our hospital capacity is being squeezed right now because we don't have a place to send patients that are in the hospital, and the hospitals are getting fuller and fuller every day. You can't continue to expect your healthcare workers, your nurses, your CNAs, your doctors, your PAs, your NPs. You can't continue taxing them the way that they've been taxed the last 15 months or so, 18 months or so, and continue and expect the system to continue to work. A very good example is if someone were to show up with maybe a heart attack or a stroke, their care is going to be delayed because of the overflow situation in the ER. And they could potentially die because of the situation in the fact that the ERs, most ERs nowadays are boarding patients who should be either should be inside the hospital, but the hospital is too full to accept them. So it's quite a complex situation. Yes, it may not affect you as an 18-year-old, as we've heard some 18-year-olds say or 21-year-olds say, but it affects the entire society. If you were to break a leg, guess what? Your care is going to be delayed because the hospitals are too full.
Yeah, yeah. We are stretched thin on resources, listeners. We are very stretched thin on resources. But, and I run the risk of sounding like some PSA, our greatest resource is you.
Exactly, exactly.
You are our greatest resource. Making sure that we are, you know, continuing with the proper habits, doing everything we can, having conversations with each other about vaccinations, making sure that we're properly masked. I know we're tired. I know everyone has COVID and pandemic fatigue, but the worst is not behind us yet. We do have control of how bad this can get. I think everyone should just, you know, keep that in mind and play your part. Do the best you can to try to keep these numbers down. Let's have the vaccination numbers go up and the infection rate go down.
I like how you point out that it's in our control how bad the situation gets, because we have the power to get vaccinated and lower the number of new infections.
Yeah.
So thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Doc, again for your time. Looking forward to us.
It was a pleasure, my man.
Looking forward to us getting together next week with my fingers crossed for better numbers.
I hope so too. I hope so too.
All right, now, thank you for your time.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.